Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Millions of women and girls around the world face forced prostitution, sex trafficking, and gender-based violence. But a movement against the oppression of women and girls declares that the global community is finally ready to take the issue head on. Today on the program, we're talking about the Half the Sky movement and ways women near and far are fighting for and winning change. Joining me in studio is Felicia Maxfield-Barrett, Executive Director of the Utah Refugee Coalition, a local nonprofit that assists refugee communities connect with resources and educates the public about refugee issues. And Felicia, thanks so much for your time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Jackie Bommer, who is a global development specialist with the Global Poverty Project, which has a campaign to end extreme poverty in one generation. She's also a former case manager for victims of human trafficking at the nonprofit Utah Health and Human Rights. And she also worked at the Child Rescue Association of North America, which is dedicated to ending child sexual exploitation in Canada and the U.S. Jackie Bommer, welcome to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
KUED Channel 7 will present a free sneak preview of the PBS special titled Half the Sky, Turning Oppression into Opportunity for Women Worldwide. That is happening this Wednesday night, September 12th at 7 at the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, UMOCA, 20 South West Temple in Salt Lake City. And a panel discussion featuring my two guests and others will follow the screening. The entire Half the Sky series will air on KUED on October 1st and 2nd. There's more details on our website, kcpw.org. Later on in the program, we're shifting to revolutionary Mexico and a look through the lens. But first, Half the Sky. If you've got questions or comments about the oppression of women and girls around the world and closer to home, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. I mentioned in my introduction that Half the Sky, this movement, comes from the book with the same name, which was coined by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn. They wrote that a couple of years ago. Describe the Half the Sky movement, what you know about it, and you know the fight against women's oppression more broadly. What is happening on the front? Jackie Bommer?
Well, the Half the Sky movement is essentially an organization that has grown into a global movement working to give oppressed women opportunities to come up in their families and in their communities and really climb out of the poverty trap that many of them are stuck in. And so it does things like promote education and works with several different issues that these women are facing, such as maternal health care and child mortality, and just different ways to help these women kind of beat, like I said, the circumstances that they're facing. Mm.
We'll get to the specifics as we go throughout the hour, but explain the scope of the problems facing women and girls throughout the world today. I mean, some of the statistics are pretty grim, Felicia.
What we find when we're working with refugees is that women and their children rarely have a voice in the camps in their countries in order to make a change in what's going on. When they come here to the United States and Utah, one thing that we want to do is try to help them find an arena or an environment where they can come and talk about what's going on, you know, be able to start empowering themselves to make a better situation for not only themselves, but what we also find is that when you empower the women, you also empower the family as a whole. Their children do better. Their communities do a lot better. So women are really the key to the solution there.
I was going to ask about, you know, why target women? Kristof and Wu Dunn say that the 19th century, the big moral issue, the challenge was fighting slavery. In the 20th century, it was fighting totalitarianism. And they say today's challenge is fighting women's oppression. Why target women? What do you think, Jackie?
Well, at Global Poverty Project, we believe that dovetails so closely with fighting extreme poverty. We found that women are essentially, like Felicia said, the key to to breaking out of extreme poverty, where 1.3 billion people are living under $1.50 a day. But as we give women this empowerment and these rights and create opportunities for them to build family businesses and get educations, they're using the resources for future generations, for their children, getting their children educations and investing wisely. And so they are able to make a change, not only for themselves, but for their families. And like I said, for their communities and future generations. Mm.
Is fighting oppression of women, fighting sex trafficking and fighting female genital mutilation and horrible problems that we hear about, are these far away problems, or are these problems that we can see here in our own culture, Felicia?
Absolutely. They're here, and they're unfortunately very prevalent in our own communities. I forgot what I was going to say, but you know, just to sort of explain what we're doing to try to address this issue. Zeman Zhao, who is the refugee liaison for Salt Lake County, created a project called Global Artisans. And what that does is it allows for women who, primarily women, you know, there are some men who are part of the project, who normally can't go out and find traditional employment, either due to disability or because they have been warehoused in camps for so long, they don't have the employment skills or the English skills, or their families are so incredibly large that it's not economically reasonable for them to go out and find traditional employment because of the cost of childcare. It allows them to use their inherent talents, either through artistic talents, creating crafts, to be able to create something where we then sell it on a consignment basis. And the reason that we feel that that kind of a project is so valuable is because a lot of these women have never sold anything. They've never created anything, so they don't know what their worth and their value is. And so when they can create a necklace and go out and sell it for $10 and get a little bit return on their investment, they then start to recognize that their value is at least $10. And not only it doesn't only stop with the monetary value that they're bringing into their house, all of a sudden their family starts to recognize that mom or the wife is worth $10. And so there's a little bit more of a respect that comes up to the woman of the household, just because all of a sudden she's starting to contribute without having to challenge the role of her husband or her father or her family when it comes to that contribution. And so, you know, it's the little things that can make such an incredible difference to the family and to the woman. Mm.
Did you have something to
add? I just want to say, and in Half the Sky, that's something that the book really illustrates very well on several different occasions, where women have come from situations where they're in households that they're not allowed to speak unless spoken to. They're not allowed to leave the household. They're not allowed to ever touch the money or make any financial decisions. And in giving them that financial empowerment, they change not only their homes but their communities into communities where women are taking roles in local government and women are leaving the house and making the educational calls for their children and that type of thing. But also it is an issue that we can see right here in Utah as well. These women empowerment issues, not only from the refugees coming in or those being trafficked into the United States, but even our own, as far as trafficking goes, the average age of entry into prostitution is 14 years old. And that's such a young, young age. And a child at that age who's not even legally allowed to consent to sex is not legally, it's not a choice being a prostitute in that sense. And so these are issues that anyone can get involved with on an international scale or even right in our own communities working to provide this empowerment for these extreme situations.
We're speaking with Jackie Bommer. She works with the Global Poverty Project. Also with us, Felicia Maxfield Barrett, Executive Director of the Utah Refugee Coalition. And we're talking about Half the Sky. It's a global movement to empower women to turn oppression into opportunity. There is a special screening of the upcoming PBS special Half the Sky this Wednesday night, September 12th at 7 at UMOCA here in Salt Lake City. And a panel discussion will follow the screening that is presented by KUED Channel 7. If you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. I want to play a clip from the Half the Sky movement and get you to respond. You mentioned sex trafficking, and this is a problem that you said is not exclusive to the developing world. I mean, we have the problem here. This is a clip from an advocate as part of the Half the Sky movement.
Sex trafficking of girls is a business. These women, these girls, these little faces are the face of supply.
1.2 million children are trafficked every year.
They are transported, recruited, obtained.
We live in a cage. We have no notions of time, day.
This is not prostitution in the sense of a woman selling sex. This is slavery. Cambodia is ground zero of human trafficking.
That's from Half the Sky. And the clip continues with a girl who looks very young, and she said that she was abducted when she was six. I mean, these stories are shocking and horrible. And, you know, a significant portion of the sex trade is enslavement. These women and girls are forced into prostitution. Jackie, you worked previously with Utah Health and Human Rights talking about human trafficking. I mean, what is the extent of the problem here in the States?
You know, it is absolutely a problem here in the States that we see both with our own children being trafficked and brought into prostitution, as well as women and girls being brought into the United States from other countries. And it's something that you'll find in every state and in every city if you're looking for it. But it's hard to get an exact number because it's not something that's clearly monitored or fully understood. Mm.
Not all women are forced physically, though. I mean, some are victims of circumstance. Mm-hmm. They are economically bound because they don't have skills, they don't have literacy, and they have to provide for themselves and their families. I mean, Felicia, that's a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, I think in you saying that sometimes it's due to the economic situations, we look at prostitution and the selling of sex as being an economic choice for a woman. A woman can go out onto the streets and she's the one making that decision. But I think because our community doesn't provide the opportunity of education, of empowerment, of just opportunities in general, women are often faced to go and sell sex on the streets because that's a way that they take care of themselves, of their children. You know, in the book Half the Sky, I read that they were saying that the slavery of the 1800s happened because we looked at human beings from Africa as being property. And I don't think there's any kind of difference with the way that women who are part of the sex slave trade right now is viewed as well. They're seen as property. They're not seen as human beings. And therefore, they're valued less. Their feelings, their circumstances are not taken into consideration.
Hmm. It's interesting that the Half the Sky movement points out that prostitution is most prevalent in some of the most conservative societies. We're talking India, Pakistan, Iran. Yeah. They have a disproportionately large number of prostitutes. So, any thoughts on that? Jackie Bomber?
I think a part of that can be kind of the mentality and the culture that sets in with these women as they're trapped in prostitution. And you can see it here as well. Once a woman is taken into the sex slave trade, she often feels like she has no other option. And in these very conservative countries and communities, she literally does have no other option because her family won't take her back. And she has, in a sense, shamed the family and cannot move on from that. But we see it even here in the United States, where girls who have entered prostitution at such a young age and lost their chances for education and normal, steady employment, and they've lost that kind of self-respect and self-esteem, find that they don't feel like they have any other option, and they do feel trapped in that situation, and essentially it eventually becomes what they know, and they don't know how to break out of it. Mm.
Speaking with Jackie Baumer, she's a global development specialist with Global Poverty Project. Also with us, Felicia Maxfield Barrett with the Utah Refugee Coalition. And they are part of a panel discussion that will follow a special free sneak preview of the PBS special Half the Sky. That screening is sponsored by KUED Channel 7. It's happening this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, September 12th at UMOCA, 20 Southwest Temple in Salt Lake City. And then you can see the entire Half the Sky series on KUED on October 1st and 2nd. If you'd like to join our conversation, we're talking about the oppression of women, fighting that oppression, and ways to change cultures, society, and the global village as we know it. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We'll get to your calls after a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce. According to the journalists Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn, in the 19th century, we fought slavery. In the 20th century, we took on totalitarianism. And today, we're taking on the oppression of women and girls, from sex trafficking to female genital mutilation to maternal mortality. Women and girls faced a host of issues, but a global movement called Half the Sky is galvanizing people to join the fight for opportunity for women worldwide. Today on the program, we're talking about the Half the Sky movement and ways that women's lives are being improved. Joining me in studio, Felicia Maxfield Barrett. She is the executive director of the Utah Refugee Coalition, and Jackie Baumer, a global development specialist with the Global Poverty Project. And we invite you to join us as well. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Felicia and Jackie are part of a panel discussion that is following a special sneak preview of a PBS special titled Half the Sky. That's happening this Wednesday, September 12th. We'll give you details on that as we go. But if you'd like to join us, what more do you think can be done to free women from oppression? 801-355-TALK is that number. Let's get our callers in on this conversation. We'll go to Mike in Salt Lake City. Mike, hello.
Hi. I have a quick question. I'm wondering how effective micro-lending, or like the church's perpetual education fund, having to relieve women of the poverty. Specifically with micro-lending, I specifically seeked out female people to lend because I feel that the children will be a bigger difference.
Mike, you're fading out, so I'm going to let you go, but I think we got the gist of your question. Thank you so much. Micro-lending. Explain what it is first, Felicia. What does he mean by micro-lending?
So micro-lending is giving either small grants or small loans with very minute interest rates to individuals to start up their own business. It can be considered social enterprise. It might be the start of entrepreneurship. So through our Global Artisans Project that I was explaining earlier, that is almost the four-step to a micro-lending project. One thing that we have to keep in mind when considering the refugee community is that many of the populations that we work with have been in the camps for years. There's some communities that we're going on third generation of refugees. So the grandparents went to the camps, had children, and now those children are having children. Mm-hmm. And so coming to the United States and to Utah and picking up business owner concepts is incredibly difficult. And so what we try to do is, you know, in creating this arena is lay the foundations for them to, one, just start earning some supplemental income to be able to contribute to their households, but then also start identifying these American concepts, such as banking accounts and tracking inventory, and PR efforts and sales. So microlending is a huge success in Utah if we take into consideration the capacity of the refugees that we work with. Mm. You know, I'm sure there's other people out there that can speak more to other kinds of microlending opportunities within American culture or within other immigrant populations. Mm.
Jackie, is the Global Poverty Project involved in microlending, and does it work, to Mike's question?
You know, it's something that we've absolutely found that does work and has profound impacts in these communities. What we're finding is that to end extreme poverty, the front lines really are on the ground in these countries, and it's more effective to support the individuals there that are working to build themselves up and out of extreme poverty than it is to go in with an outside organization and quote unquote save them, because it just, there's not a long-term sustainability in organizations like that. But in organizations where they are supporting the individuals in that community and making a change for themselves, we found that there's a huge success rate. And it's one of the great ways for people to get involved here. If it's something you're interested in, there are great microloan organizations where you can go and pick a family or a woman or a project that resonates with you and give them a loan yourself. Even if it's something really minimal, like $50, and then communicate with them as they build their business. And what they found with these microloans is it has an incredible return rate. They're almost always paid in full, especially when they've started setting them up as kind of a community accountability, where they'll give a loan to a group of women, and the women can decide which woman in that group gets to use that loan for the so many months, and then as a group are responsible for paying it back. So it's a sound investment.
Mm. Mike, thanks so much for the call. Did you have something to add, Felicia?
I just wanted to reiterate something that Jackie said, and that's the idea of empowerment. So many times we think about how can we as United States citizens go out and save the world? And the way that we can really make a difference is by giving the individuals who we're trying to help the power to help themselves. I mean, there's a reason why so many social service nonprofits say, you know, to give a man a fish is to feed him for a day, but to teach a man a fish is to feed him for life. And it's because when it comes down to them being able to care for their families, for themselves, they know their culture and their traditions the best. We might assume we know what is best for them, but they really are the ones who can answer their own problems. Mm.
Felicia Maxfield Barrett is with the Utah Refugee Coalition. Jackie Balmer is with the Global Poverty Project. And we're talking about turning oppression into opportunity for women throughout the world and closer to home. If you'd like to join our conversation about Half the Sky, that's what the movement is called. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to Rochelle, who's been holding in Salt Lake City. Rochelle, hi.
Hello. First of all, I want to thank all of you for bringing up this very important conversation today. I really appreciate it and have a lot of gratitude that we're just talking about it. Second, I work for a company in which we speak to women all over the world every day, and oftentimes at the end of the day, I have a very heavy heart because I'm speaking to women with a very personal conversations. We are a company who help women with empowerment in a different way than you do. And I hear really little vignettes about their lives. And I'm often just felt that I can't help them. You know, they share with me things. I had a woman in central Nairobi that told me that, you know, she wanted to try to grow her business because she wanted to hire other women in her community who are having to sell their bodies just for one bag of flour that would only feed their children for one evening. And she wondered, you know, when women in North America would come help them. And then I start getting emails from these women from different parts of Africa, women who are very suppressed in Poland. They start emailing me personally, and it's just such an overwhelming feeling. And I always don't know where can I send them for help. And then additionally, the second half of my question to both of you ladies is, you know, I think that many times we think this is a problem that's in third world countries. And I'd also like you to speak to the situations that are happening here in the U.S., because I think people think it's not here.
Good points, Rochelle. Thank you so much for the call. What to her first question about responding, interacting with people who are oppressed. I mean, she clearly feels very personally involved, wants to help, isn't quite sure what to do. I mean, where do you turn when you see these kind of problems up close and personal and want to make a difference but aren't sure where to start? Jackie, what do you think?
Well, at Global Poverty Project, our mission is to essentially end extreme poverty through motivating the masses and getting people involved. And so we've created a website called globalcitizen.org where you can go and find the issue that resonates most with you and learn about it and learn what's being done and find out the organizations that are supporting sustainable change and then learn how you can take action. And there are so many organizations that you can get involved with. But what I really appreciate about Rochelle's comment is the feeling that sometimes it can feel super overwhelming. And we can think, wow, a billion people are going to bed hungry. What could we possibly do about that? And with corruption and all the issues we face, it seems like an impossible feat. But what's important is to remember how far we've come and to stay optimistic. In the last 30 years, the percentage of our population that lives in extreme poverty has been cut in half. In 1980, 52% of the world lived in extreme poverty, and today only 25% does. And with things like the slave trade, never before in the history of the world has slavery been illegal in every country. And if slavery were to end tomorrow, no government would fail because of it. No government's economy is based on the slave trade. And the smallest percentage of our population is now enslaved, whereas there have been times in our history where up to 50% of the population has been enslaved. So we're really at this incredibly exciting point in our time and in our history where it is feasible and possible to feed the world. And it is feasible and possible to end slavery forever and end extreme poverty if we just stay focused and optimistic.
It's harder to do that, though, when you're in Rochelle's shoes.
I mean, absolutely.
I can feel her pain.
Can I say please. Something to that? I think Rochelle absolutely said it right when she said, at least we're talking about it. I think that's the first step, is acknowledging that there is a problem, and it's not happening halfway around the world. It's not in a third world country. It is happening here in our own local community. I mean, you know, you can drive down State Street in Salt Lake City and see all of these very young women, if not even girls, you know, walking on the street, and you can't help but suspect that they're in the sex industry. You know, I don't have an international answer to her question. We focus on our local community here, but, you know, we might not be able to make to go into another country and be able to make a difference. But, you know, even just getting involved in your own local community, there's fantastic nonprofit organizations that help every kind of person here locally, you know, whether it's your YWCA, Catholic Community Services, the Road Home, International Rescue Committee. You know, our organization takes volunteers. You know, we need to start addressing these issues by continuing to talk about it and then getting involved at least in our local community. And then if your heart is with international, you know, efforts, there's plenty of international nonprofit organizations that are great organizations to get involved with. So it's just a matter of taking that first step.
Thank you, Rochelle, very much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. This email comes from Peter. He writes, "The elephant in the room is religion. The main role of women is to have children, preferably male children. How can a woman be educated with this mindset? This is not just in third world countries." Peter writes, "For example, Utah has one of the lowest rates of women graduating from college in science, technology, and math. From the beginning, daughters should be taught that, yes, you too can be a daughter or engineer." Beyond just religion, culture, society, there are a lot of expectations out there that are external to people. How do you change cultural norms and societal perceptions of what a woman should be and her place in society? Felicia?
I think the start to it is valuing women equal to men, you know, and I don't want to get up on that soapbox, but I think that's the start. And in the book Half the Sky, they do talk about how in other countries, if it comes down to health care for a sick son versus the sick wife, a lot of times the father will take the son to the hospital, you know, or a sick daughter, you know, they'll take the sick son to a hospital and just sort of wait to see what happens with the wife or the daughter, because they don't want to waste the money on something that's not valued as much as that son is in the relationship.
But that's where the wrinkle is, right? I mean, how do you change a tradition? How do you change that kind of mindset, Jackie?
I think this comes back to education and empowerment, like we've been discussing. One of the great examples in Half the Sky is the issue of female genital mutilation, where we were able to pass laws throughout countries in Africa to make it illegal. And it was illegal, but that didn't mean it changed anything, because the culture was that is what was going to happen. And what they found had the biggest impact was not going into a community and saying, this is wrong, you have to stop, but going into a community and offering a long-term education program where things like human rights issues were discussed, and making it human rights, not necessarily women rights. So it's not coming in and attacking the community and their cultures that they've had, but just bringing the issues up. And they found that as these villages and cities and communities would talk about the issue, and they would come to the conclusion themselves that it's something they no longer wanted to participate in, and they would come to that conclusion as a group so that they had support in making this change. And so they found that that was a very powerful way and to address the issue.
I want to play one last clip from the Half the Sky movement. This is Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about the role that foreign policy can play in changing cultures and traditions.
When you have women who are left out of or mistreated by their societies, those societies are less stable, less secure, certainly less democratic. And we're living in such an interconnected, interdependent world that where those kinds of imbalances exist, oftentimes you will find problems that can then come to haunt us at home. So I make the case that it's the right thing to do, and it's the smart thing to do, to put the treatment of women and girls right at the center of American foreign policy.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking on behalf of the Half the Sky movement. Our time is short, but I guess I'd like to ask each of you just if you agree with the Half the Sky founders, Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn, that the tide is turning, that a growing number of people and groups are really taking women's oppression seriously and having success. So, Jackie Bomber, what do you think?
I absolutely agree. I think this is a very exciting time to be alive and be a part of such a great movement. Not only are we as developed countries seeing the importance of this and seeing the global connection of our world and how it affects each of us, but women are starting to see that as well in developed countries. They're starting to see it from things as simple as TV programming and radio shows and Western influences. They're starting to stand up and fight for their rights as well. So the tide is absolutely turning, I believe.
Where do you see the hope, Felicia?
I think just in the clip that you played with Hillary Clinton, saying that we need to place women and girls in the forefront of our foreign policy because it affects us here locally, I think that's a huge change in our opinion and our efforts. You know, 20, 30 years ago, there's no way that we would even suggest that, first of all, this is an American issue, or that this kind of an issue in another country has any kind of direct impact on what's going on in America. So I think just our public officials, elected officials talking about it and saying this is something that we have to address gives me hope that at some point there's going to be substantial change on this issue that's taking place in our community.
Felicia Maxfield Barrett. She is Executive Director of the Utah Refugee Coalition. Felicia, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Jackie Baumer, a Global Development Specialist with the Global Poverty Project. Jackie, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Felicia and Jackie are part of a panel discussion that will follow a special free sneak preview of the PBS special titled Half the Sky, Turning Oppression into Opportunity for Women Worldwide. That's happening this Wednesday, September 12th at 7 p.m. at UMOCA, 20 South West Temple here in Salt Lake City. The panel discussion will follow the screening, which is about 40 minutes of a four-hour PBS series. KUED Channel 7 will air the entire Half the Sky series on October 1st and 2nd from 9 to 11 p.m. And there's much more on our website, kcpw.org. Coming up next, images from Mexico's revolution. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.